people have a very strange relationship to advertising. Everybody thinks that they personally are not affected by it, but they think everybody else is, right? Everybody else is a dupe. Everybody else is buying things because they're told. They, however, you know, are completely immune. And it has to do with, you know, how images make you feel about yourself on a particular day, you know, but also certain atmosphere. I mean, I think, you know, walking around in Soho in New York, I think is to be in a constant state of longing. Affected by good design, and I'm affected by, you know, beautiful shop windows and advertising, and you know, and so I think that's part of the reason why I wrote the book. First title for No Logo was Distracted by Shiny Objects, because I had sort of had this dialogue with myself all the time. You know, I'm constantly drawn and looking, and oh my God, yeah, my life would be better if I had that, you know. But also knowing how fleeting the fulfillment is that comes from it, and how I'm definitely more vulnerable to ad campaigns depending on how bad a day I'm having, you know. If I feel great, I don't need much, you know. If I feel bad, I need everything.
This was written right at the beginning, in 1990 or so, the Culture Jammers Manifesto. We will take on the archetypal mind polluters and beat them at their own game. We will uncool their billion-dollar brands with uncommercials on TV, subvertisements in magazines, and anti-ads right next to theirs in the urban mindscape. We will seize control of the role and function that corporations play in our lives and set new agendas in their industries. We will jam the pop culture marketeers and bring their image factory to a sudden shuddering halt. And then on the rubble of the old culture, we will build a new one with a non-commercial heart and soul.
In the the mid-80s, Nike made a very concerted and public decision. Phil Knight, the CEO of Nike, who was tired of competing with Reebok, and he said, you know, I don't want to be in the fashion business. I don't even want to be in the shoe business. And he said, we are not a fashion company. We are a sports company. We are about the idea of sports. In fact, about the idea of transcendence through sports. So not about a particular sport, but about the promise of athleticism itself. The promise of transformation, of taking flight, leading the self, very powerful, mythic, Greek ideas about athleticism. Nike then started to make rock videos about sports, right? And had a very important partner in this process, who was Michael Jordan. You know, they are and were great ads. Some of the most brilliant, creative people around working on them. They were also, and are also, extremely expensive. Tiger Woods has a contract for $100 million. The way Nike bankrolled this brand meaning experiment was by abandoning the whole idea of manufacturing their own products. They don't own a single factory except for where they develop prototypes. And they have been able to finance this amazing marketing and meaning experiment by pitting their 700 contractors and subcontractors against one another in China, Vietnam, Indonesia, and getting very low prices for their products.
There was one moment, it happened 12 years ago, right here in Vancouver. I had been making documentary films for about 15 years and getting a little bit unsatisfied because I wasn't convincing anybody. And then suddenly the forest industry here in British Columbia, which is the biggest industry, they suddenly came up with this $6 million campaign to convince British Columbians that they are doing a fantastic job managing our forests. So we said, okay, the time has come to make our own TV campaign. So we came up with our own fantastic 30-second TV spot that said that we are already cutting too much and that forest forever is a big lie and you know, we should start thinking about you know, sustainable forests here in British Columbia. And then we went to all the TV stations that were airing the forest industry side, and we were absolutely dumbfounded when none of those stations would sell us any airtime. We weren't asking for free airtime, we were asking for, we wanted to pay money for that time the same way as the forest industry was paying. But all the stations said no. And for me, this was my moment of truth when I realized that in this fantastic democracy here in North America, there is no democracy on the airwaves. And that was the moment when I decided to start a magazine and to start this nonprofit society and everything else that's happened ever since.
Your living room is the factory. The product.